A reading from Philippians, chapter 4, beginning at verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again I will say, rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to everyone. The Lord is near. Do not worry about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, beloved, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is pleasing, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, and if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. Keep on doing the things you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, and the God of peace will be with you. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks, David. We're on week 3 of a new preaching series, little test. Oh, it's gone. So what are we doing? What are we doing? What's the series we're doing? We're doing the fruits of the Spirit. And today we're looking at the fruit of peace. The fruit of peace. So this is a test. What have we done so far?
Joy.
We were very joyful last week. Liz led us and we were very joyful last week. That was one of the fruits we looked at. And the week before that, which was the first one. Oh, well done. The Freeman Powell's on the ball there. Even though they are sleep deprived. Love. We did love, the first one, then joy, and today we're looking at peace. Peace. Now, this was the bit, I think the next slide was what I was going to do when the children were with us, but I've kind of aborted. But we will have a little go. We'll have a little go, because it fits in. So, anyone good at charades? Anyone like to come and have a go at what's on the card? Anybody? I've got something here. You know the game charades. Give us a clue. You've got a mime, that kind of thing. Anyone want to come and have a go at this? Oh, come on. Do you know what? It's like pulling teeth sometimes. No one going to have a go at this? Paul's pointing at his is it your brother. You're coming to have a go, are you? No, she's not. No, I'm not. I'll tell you what, right, let's have a look. I'll tell you what, I'll do it. You bunch of... Right, I'll do it. You ready? So, this one, it is, are you ready? It's a... I think it's actually being one of them as well. No, it's not a musical. Is that a play? Is that a play? I don't know. I'm rubbish at this game. Right. Give us a break, Donna. What is it? Fantastic. There you go. There you go. Right. Who wants to do the next one? I could be here all day. I've got loads. Who wants to do the next one? Anyone? Oh, well done, Vicky. This is easy. This is easy. Next one's good. Anyone? No. We'll move on. This could be quite tough, the next one, actually. Which was, next slide in, was The Little Mermaid. How would you do that? That would be quite hard, wouldn't it, The Little Mermaid? I don't know how you'd do that. I could do the first word. I don't know how you do the next. And the last one, do you know what? I'm going to have a go at it. This is the last one. I'll have a go. I think we'll be struggling. Because it's not anything... Well, hang on. Right, okay. Ready. So it's a the silence of the lamb. No, right. So you've got... So you got the first word... No, you got the first word, which is... Leave the second one. Third word is... Ooh. Someone said it. No. God. So you've got the something of God. Second word. Oh, well done. The peace of God. So the idea behind doing charades is it's quiet. It's supposed to be, the person doing it is supposed to be peaceful, not supposed to say anything. It's supposed to be quiet. So we're looking at peace. What is peace? So we're continuing our series on the fruits of the Spirit. We've covered love, we've covered joy. Today is peace. So you'd be pleased to know that for the next 10 minutes, I'm going to not say a word. You're going to have peace and quiet for 10 minutes. So I'll just sit down. Not really. Sorry. No such luck. I did think that I'd share with you the way that you can find inner peace. There is a way to find inner peace. And apparently the way to achieve this is to finish, as I was reading, is to finish things that you've started. This is the way to find inner peace, to finish things that you started. It's definitely been working for me. I'm now making a real point of always finishing what I start, and I think I'm well on the way to finding inner peace. So this morning, here are some of the things that I've finished. 2 packets of crisps, a strawberry cheesecake, a packet of biscuits, and I'm doing the marathon after. No, I'm not really. Seriously though, peace, what is it? I think we all have a different understanding, don't we, of what peace actually is. It means different things to different people. For some of us, it might be sitting in our living room or in a cozy place in the house reading a book. That might be how you find peace. It might be watching television on your own or sitting with the family, whatever it might be. It might be doing a bit of gardening. I know some of us are quite green-fingered and we quite like getting into the garden and doing that. For me, I enjoy going out for a run or doing something sporty. I find sort of a sense of peace doing that, or going on my motorbike and enjoying the country roads. I kind of find a peace in that sense doing that. Peace means different things to different people. So to try and define peace is really quite difficult. But the dictionary, I think there's a slide for this, Ian. The dictionary states that that peace is, this is quoting from the dictionary, it's a state of quiet, freedom from disturbance, freedom from war, cessation from war, freedom from contention, ease of mind, tranquility, quiet, stillness, silence. That's what peace is. Now that's all well and good, but it's not the kind of peace that Paul is talking about in the reading that David's just read to us from Philippians chapter 4. You see, peace in a biblical sense is very, very different to the world's understanding of peace. And Jesus says in John chapter 14, which was the gospel reading we had this morning at our first service, Jesus says these words, "My peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. I do not give as the world gives." You see, godly peace is very, very different to the world's peace. So what is godly peace? Well, the New Bible Dictionary says that peace comes from the Old Testament word shalom. And shalom means completeness, soundness, well-being. Completeness or well-being. Completeness is something special, isn't it? And I think most of us, if we're honest, are looking for that. We're looking for something that makes us feel complete, makes us feel whole. I'm sure you can relate to searching in some way for something that gives you that sense of wholeness, that gives you that sense of satisfaction. And it might be that you search for that in materialism. It might be that you search for it in consumerism. It might be that you search it in different ways, trying to find satisfaction. I know loads of people going for a bit of retail therapy just to make you feel better for a bit. But it doesn't last. It only lasts for a short time. Maybe you can recognize yourself in that. Today, maybe God might want to speak to you about that. He might want to make you feel more complete and more whole as we go through. So be open to him as we go through the next few minutes. See, we live in a world which is anything but peaceful. You've only got to watch the news, haven't you, to realize that this world is in chaos in many ways. You know, there's wars going on all over the place. There's violence. People's lives are in turmoil. Closer to home, if you watch the local news, then you watch that and sometimes you think, how many stabbings are there going to be today? How many murders are there going to be today? It's quite terrifying sometimes when you watch that. There's not much evidence of peace in this world. But that's nothing new at all. So you've only got to read your Bible to know that wars, disease, unrest, murder, it's been going on since the beginning of time. It's into this world of sin, this world of chaos, that God gives his gift of peace. And it's this gift that comes first and foremost in the Prince of Peace through Jesus Christ. He is the promised Messiah that was to bring the hope of a new age and the hope of peace. He's the fulfillment of that hope. In Christ Jesus, peace has come. And it's through him, through his grace, that we receive it. That's why Jesus says, "My peace I give to you. I do not give as the world gives." And his peace is something completely different. And it's a gift freely given if you want to accept it. Philippians 4, it says this, "And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus." See, it's through him and it's only through him. And it's not something that this world can grasp hold of or understand. Even though we might be going through the most horrendous time in our lives, things could be really, really tough, really difficult, really hard, and you might be facing an uncertain future. Verse 5 says this, "Don't be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God, and the peace of God will transcend all understanding, will guard your heart and your mind." And that is something really incredible. Even through the worst, most difficult times, we can know godly peace. Not worldly peace, godly peace. How? I've talked about it. How do we do it? And it might sound simplistic, but it's giving everything to him. And it's trusting in him. And it sounds blasé to say it in many ways. It's not. It's a big, big thing. To actually place it all into God's hands and to trust him. It's sometimes quite hard to do that. But we're called to have a childlike faith. You read your Bible, we're called to have a childlike faith. What do children have that's different to us as adults? They have a simple trust, don't they? They have a simple acceptance. They have a simple understanding. And they have a simple belief. The other day I was out doing the gardening and Isaac was on the trampoline and you know you have the what's it called, the enclosure, the netting around the trampoline, and Isaac was bouncing around on the trampoline and I was cutting the grass and he shouted, "Daddy, catch me!" And he'd come out of the netting and he was going to jump off the trampoline. I wasn't ready for Isaac to jump off the trampoline. I wasn't actually really that close to the trampoline at that point. However, he had shouted, "Daddy, catch me." So in his mind, everything was good. He was good to go. And so he jumped without hesitation. Luckily, I had already started the run, as you do. And I managed to catch him in full flight. And he didn't have any accidents, luckily. But what did he do? He had complete faith, didn't he? He had complete confidence that Dad was there. He'd said, "Daddy, catch me," and Dad was going to catch him. Never doubted that I would not catch him. I wonder, are there things in your life right now that you need to give to God? Things which are important, maybe some big things. Maybe things that are affecting you at home, at school, maybe at work, in your relationships. Things which are preventing you from finding that sense of inner peace. Because Jesus says these words, and these words are huge. Jesus says, "Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." In other words, he'll give you peace. Maybe you need to give these things to God. Maybe you need to have that childlike faith and simply jump. But jumping is a big thing sometimes, isn't it? It takes guts. Maybe we need just to jump sometimes into God's hands and trust him. Because he will catch you. On a personal level, there's been many times over the years when, as a family, we've had to do just that. As a child growing up, we've had to do that, but also in my own married life, as an adult, we've had to learn to trust simply in God. We moved to Egworth 3 years ago today. It was on your birthday, wasn't it, Mum? We moved. 3 years ago today, we moved to Egworth. But in the build-up to that, obviously we were preparing to move, and my curacy at Bursko was coming to an end, and we needed to find somewhere. I needed to find somewhere where God wanted me to come to be vicar. But nothing seemed to be coming up. There was nothing really happening. Eventually, St. Anne's advertised, and I won't go into the whole story, but it was most definitely God's timing, and it was most definitely God's plan that I was to come here. When we moved, in the week building up to the move, and Ian's at the back on the computer, and he will remember this, there was loads of obstacles. There was lots of things happening, which were a bit of a worry, I suppose. The decorator wasn't there, really. He hadn't finished, and he wasn't there. And there was all kinds of other things going on with the house, and we had a 12-week-old baby. It was only 3 months old. At the time, some people said to us, "You're mad. You're not worried about all this. You're not really concerned about everything." And do you know what? Of course, the human side of you is concerned and worried about things. However, not to the extent where it would cause us to say, "Not doing it, can't go, not doing it." Because we just had that childlike faith, that trust that God will sort it. It's just that simple belief and faith that God will sort it. And everything was sorted. We moved in on the day that we were supposed to move in. The carpets were obviously delayed, but it all happened. And it all happened in that few days. God sorted it. It was brilliant. When we give our worries, when we give our concerns to Him and we trust Him, and I mean really trust Him, then we will know His peace, His inner peace in our lives. So how do you receive it? Well, it's all set out in the text, in the Bibles, in the Bible reading we've had. It's about our relationship with Jesus. It's having Jesus at the center of everything. Rejoice in the Lord always, not just when things are going well, but always. He's got to be the center of everything. And when He's central in our lives, the Lord is near. Verse 5, when you put Him at the center, then the Lord is near, as the text says. We can't hope to know the peace of God unless He takes first place in our lives. But that isn't Paul's only command. I'm coming to an end. He urges us to imitate Jesus in our behavior as we wait for His coming. "Let your gentleness," he says, "be evident to all. The Lord is near." In other words, be more like Jesus. Accept people just as they are and submit ourselves to serving others as Jesus did. Secondly, and this is a tough one, we need to try and get rid of anxiety. Paul says the remedy to do that is through prayer and thanksgiving. Through prayer, we can overcome anxiety by trusting in God and leaving things with Him. I wonder, when did you last have a really in-depth prayer time? Something amazing happens when you do that. You can be going through really big worries. "Oh, I've got this to do, what this to do, I've got this deadline to meet." When actually you sit and you pray, things are put into a different perspective. I wonder, have you tried that? Maybe this week, maybe put some time aside to have deep quality prayer time with God. And thirdly, train our minds. Our prayers should be deepened as we read Scripture. I wonder, when did you last open your Bibles? When did you last have a really good read of your Bible? Maybe you need to buy some daily notes. There are some daily breads I've got up there, some little free Bible reading notes that you can take. They give you a little paragraph. They give you a paragraph of Scripture to read, a thought on that, and then it aids you in your prayer. Things like that are fantastic, really helping you just to focus on Scripture and what God might be saying to you. We need to train our minds. Finally, and this is the final thing, Paul focuses our attention on learning. Verse 9, "Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me," Paul says, "put it into practice." We need to live a life that is pleasing to God. And that might mean sometimes we've got to make some tough choices. Sometimes we've got to make some changes to the way we live our life. Sometimes we're going to have to say no to certain things. Making sacrifices is hard. but we are required to submit to the will of God and to the teaching which we find in the Bible, to model our relationships on Christ, surround our circumstances by prayer, drill our minds in godly thinking, and live out the word of God. If we do this, Paul says in verse 9, then the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will keep your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. So peace, Jesus says, my peace I give to you. I do not give as the world gives. One thing is certain, his peace is by far the most fantastic blessing you will ever receive. If you want to experience his peace, get your relationship with God sorted. Trust in him. Work on what you think, do, and say, and learn from him. And then one thing is for sure, God will definitely keep his end of the bargain. The rest is up to us. Let's pray together. Father, I've said an awful lot this morning and spoke for perhaps too long, but Lord, just pray that something that I've said will just filter into our minds today. And over the next few days, as we mull over things, may we search for that place of peace that can only come from you. May we spend time in your presence. May we read your scriptures. And may we learn from you. And as we do that, Lord, may you draw near. And may your peace dwell in our hearts, because we ask this in the mighty name of the one who came to save us, Jesus Christ. Amen.